Knicks family, welcome back to the Garden Knicks podcast. I'm your host, Apollo Reed, here with my co-host, Regular Joe. How you feeling, my guy?
Chilling, man. Chilling.
Had a busy week, huh?
Bro, I just got sleepy thinking about it, yeah.
Yeah, man. It's summertime, so it's time to worry about everything not concerning Knicks. But not all the time. So we're here for y'all with part two of the offseason begins. Of course, shout out to the chat. Shout out to anyone who is listening on the podcast form. Hope you guys had a great week. What is today? Wednesday? Two more days left, y'all. We can do this. We can do this. We almost there. We almost there. So a draft happened. And of course, we didn't actually draft anyone. But we did sign some guys. One with a name that sounds pretty familiar. He's a Toppin brother. Shout out to you, Xavier. Appreciate you, my guy. So, yeah, Jacob Toppin. I don't know what I necessarily feel about the move. And how much sense it actually made. But, you know, shout out to him. Of course, we've known that he had a brother. And we would always suspect, oh, he could be on the Knicks too. But it doesn't always happen. But, you know, it happened this time. So, what do you think about not Obi, but Jacob Toppin?
Or Jacoby as as he calls them. Just like how you're just like, I'm gonna just put both their names together.
Jacoby.
Yeah, shout out to Harry. Yeah,
shout out to my guy
Xavier. What's good?
Yes sir.
I don't know what to think about it. Listen, he had, from what I understand, I'm not gonna pretend to be like I know everything about Jacob Toppin, but I heard he had a pretty good final year of college there at Kentucky. Mm-hmm. Heard he had his best year at Kentucky in his final year. I watched the highlights. Athletically, he is 100% NBA ready. Mm-hmm. Looks like he has an NBA body already. I don't know if he can make perimeter shots to help not just the Knicks, but like any team, you know, like that's the big question with, I don't know, he's about probably 6'7", 6'8", kind of swing guy.
Yeah.
Like that's always the question with these guys, right? Like they could probably come in, he could probably play a little bit of defense. He's clearly athletic, like super similar to his brother in the open floor, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if he's going between the legs or anything like that, but. But yeah, I just, the question, like I said, is can he shoot it well enough to survive in the NBA? Because he's going to be asked to hit corner threes and all kinds of stuff like that. And yeah, I don't know. I don't know if he could do it. That remains to be seen, right?
It remains to be seen. I don't know.
And how old is he? I know he's older, right? He did a couple years at Kentucky.
That's a great question. How old is Jacob Toppin? Is he... was he a junior? Let's see, a Jacoby Toppin.
Jacoby.
Jacob Toppin. Let's see. He's 23 years old. Oh, he did an Obi.
See? That's what I'm saying, bro. Like,
yeah.
Now you got this guy. He's already 23. You already know how scouts look at guys like that already.
Yep. I mean, which is probably why he went undrafted.
So how do you... Can he grow his game at 23? Like, how much better can he get?
I mean, I think it's possible. We've seen Obi get better.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And we've seen other guys get better, right? Especially these undrafted guys. They tend to make themselves like these self-made guys.
Right.
But he's going to be in the G League. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. He's going to spend a lot of time down there, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Xavier says can't be as bad as J.R. Smith's brother. Yeah, Chris Chris Smith was that was clearly a J.R. Smith thing. Like, yo, bro, let's just and I'm having thoughts. Like, is this kind of the same? Is this the same? You know what I mean?
You know what this is though? I don't even think it's about that. I mean, maybe a little bit, but I don't see nothing wrong with this. I know a lot of people are like, oh my God, why are the Knicks doing this? Mm-hmm. I literally see absolutely nothing wrong with this. I'm gonna tell you why. Right? The Knicks want to create this family atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, throw the type of family a bone, yo. Right? Like, give the guy a little contract. Let him make a little bit of money. It's a two-way contract. Like, nothing is guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who else was going to be that two-way guy? I don't know. Right? The Knicks thought that he was good enough to be the two-way guy. I'm okay with it, bro. I'm okay with a little bit of nepotism. I really am.
I think my thing with it is if you're going to draft him, develop him. Or if you're going to sign him, develop him. Like, don't just sign him because he's a topping. You know what I mean? Like, I don't necessarily mind them. It's like, just don't pick up a guy to pick up a guy. You know what I mean? Like, that's an actual roster spot that guys work hard to have. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah,
I feel like there has to be something behind it. Not it doesn't even have to be anything nefarious.
I mean, he could also play a little bit. You know?
Yeah,
like I said, athletically, like, he's ready to play in the NBA now. He's right. Got the NBA body already. You can see he's not necessarily a little stick figure. Like, he's got some muscle to him. Mm-hmm. So I think physically he's ready to play in the NBA.
Yeah.
Can he do what he just did in that clip right there? Can he make shots?
I mean, they're gonna give him the floor. They're gonna give him the space. He's gotta prove it. And I'm sure his brother is telling him, listen, you better learn how to shoot or they're not gonna play you. And then he said,
not even the Knicks, like, nobody's gonna play you, bro.
Nobody's gonna play you. Right. Yeah. Yeah. You're not gonna get a roster spot anywhere in the NBA, maybe in the G League. For sure. I think he's a G League, he has G League talent as of right now. And that's not to say anything bad about
Absolutely.
Him. But if you're not shooting, it's hard for you to, like, you know, you spoke about, we were on the phone last night talking about Andre Roberson. Like, it doesn't matter how good of a defender you are, bro. Like, you're not going to get any playing time in the league if you can't shoot. So that's just how it is. Toxic, my guy, what's going on? You've been waiting on you, brother. Salute, Obi.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I wasn't expecting it. Obi mushed Tibbs and then drafted his brother. Yo, what happened in that clip? Was it real?
I mean,
I think there was some kind of frustration there. I don't know what happened, but he was upset. You heard him. You heard his voice. I mean, you could tell it was Obi, and you definitely heard him say Tibbs. But, you know, there's no context behind it. He probably tripped him on the way to the tunnel by accident and pissed Obi off. You never know.
So, you ready?
Oh boy, talk to me.
So, for his college career, right, 4 years, he played 1 year at Rhode Island, and then he transferred to Kentucky for his last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So at Rhode Island, he shot 24% from three at Rhode Island. He improved once he got to Kentucky. He shot a little under 32%, 31.7%. And this is a college three, by the way.
Which is not
the same as the NBA three.
Right. It's
so overall for his college career, 4 years, he shot 29%. And this is really on this is what makes you a little nervous, right? It's on like almost no volume at all. It's literally one attempt per game.
Wow, that's terrible percentage for the amount of shots he's putting up.
Yeah, so it's 1.2 attempts per game.
Listen.
And the free throw shooting makes you nervous too, right? Because he wasn't a good free throw shooter in college. He only shot 69% from the free throw line in college. So usually if a guy has a stroke from the free throw line, you could kind of, you know, maybe predict that shooting touch will come later. But it's really not much evidence, bro.
But he can dunk. That's like the silver lining, right? He can dunk.
Listen, if he could dunk, if he could dunk, defend, and rebound from the wing position, right? Like, and shoot 33-34%, he could be on somebody's roster. But he got work to do, bro.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
The good thing is this. The good thing is this for him. I don't know what shots he was taking at Kentucky as far as threes. In the NBA, he's literally just going to be a corner three-point shooter.
Well, I'll tell you what. Calipari definitely coached him up a little bit, and he did a little something for him.
Okay. Average 12 points per game his senior year. 12.7 right. rebounds.
Yeah, that's not bad at all. What's going on, cuz? How you doing, man?
I'm good, man.
What's going on, Ricky?
When the show was starting, so pardon me.
No, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It's cool. It's just Garden Knicks.
We forgive you, bro.
yeah, we were just talking about, you know, the signing of Jakob Toppin at this point. That's all we really got to. Toxic Nick fan said, we always carrying baggage. We drafted Giannis' brother too. That's facts. We did. We definitely did that. And that didn't end well at all.
We drafted Patrick. Oh, dude, I don't know if we drafted him, but we bought him. He made a roster, Patrick Ewing Jr.
Yeah, Patrick Ewing Jr. That's corny. I don't know.
But bro, I don't think it's corny though, bro. I think that it shows that, like, yo, we trying to take care of our own over here.
That's dope. I guess that's true. That's true. There is a positive to it. I don't want to make it a negative thing.
Why do you think the Nastis is on that team in Milwaukee? He's not there to play.
Right. He has kids to feed. That's why he's on that team.
He's there because they taking care of family, right? Like that Antetokounmpo family not just Giannis, like that family means something to the organization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Giannis was like, yo, make sure my brother's good, all right? You just make sure he's good. He's like, I got you.
He had the pen. He was just like, before I sign.
before I sign.
My brother, he can play, right?
Tanasis.
That's probably like he can't play, but he could, you know, he could do his best Theo. He could do his best Theo Pinson.
Yeah, for sure.
Impersonation.
Yeah. We'll see him in a blowout one of these days. Mm-hmm. Xavier Marshall said they can gang up on Julius. Imagine Obi and Jacob trying to jump Julius. That'd be hilarious. They probably jumping mad high. Yo,
yeah, I don't know why that shit is so funny.
That was funny.
Yo, they'll literally be jumping him, bro.
Yeah.
Oh man. Mike said, "Go get Paul George, please. Let's not do this, man."
No.
All right. This is why I don't want Paul George. Okay.
What you mean he got to play 60 games?
Who?
He averaged 47 games the last 4 years. Like, what you mean he got to play 60? Bro. He not playing 60, bro.
He played 55 last year.
He not playing. 55 was like the highest he played in years.
Right.
Like, bro, he not playing 60, fam. So what you mean he got to play 60? Nah. You going to be mad as hell you made that trade.
You're going to be pissed off. You don't think the Clippers, why you think they listening to talks? Why would you listen to any conversation involving Paul George?
Yo, this dude is damaged goods, bro. Like, I'm good, bro. 47 games, average 47 games the last 4 years. 4 years is a lot of sample size, yo.
Hold on. I need to look at his contract. I need to see his contract. So, Paul George is on a 4-year, $176 million deal. He has this year coming up. This year coming up, he will be making $45.6 million. Next year, he has a player option. Now, this is what even makes it more tricky for us to even try to trade for him.
Yeah, the player option just spooks me out, bro, because he's going to be 30, what, 36, 37?
No, he's not that old. He'll be 30.
He's 33 now.
He'll be 33 for this whole season, apparently.
Yeah, because he just turned 33 in May.
Right. So he'll be 33 this upcoming season, making $45.6 million. Who knows how many games he's going to play. Next year, the year after, who knows what he'll look like? Say we trade for him. We trade RJ, OB, draft picks.
How many years he got left?
On that deal?
Mm-hmm.
Next year, he will have a player option next year.
Next year is the player option. So he have a player option at 34.
At 34, making $48.7 million that year. You think he's going to decline that?
Of course not.
Hell no.
I mean, unless he on some Chris Middleton shit.
Yeah.
I don't know what that was about.
I still don't know what that's about. But $48.7 million for a guy that you don't know.
Yeah, yo, Biz, crazy.
Wow, what'd he say?
He said, it's not about you. He said, if he signed with the Knicks, he playing 60. Like, Tim's going to have him out there dragging a leg, bro.
Nah, bro, I'm not doing that. I'm not. First of all, New York would kill Paul George, yo. They would kill this dude. He would not like going on social media. He would stop recording his podcast. All of that. I guarantee you, it's not happening, bro. He was on the podcast asking Julius Randle so many questions about how difficult is it to play in New York. But don't the fans, Julius would answer the question and then he'd come back. But don't, like, isn't it like even worse though? Because the fans, it's like, yo, what are you so worried about? You don't even play here. You don't even play here now, and you're worried about the fans. Mm-hmm. Now, Joe gave us some nice information on Paul George. I didn't know. Actually, you know what? We're not gonna do that here. Not doing that here.
No, we're not doing that, bro.
We're not doing that here. We're not gonna do that here. Just have fun on Google.
Yeah, bro. Paul, listen. Paul George might be watching, bro. We're not doing that. That's Paul. Paul, if you're listening, that's some bullshit that was on the internet, bro. That's not what we think, yo.
First of all, I don't even know what you're talking about, Joe.
Yeah. All right.
Alleged as hell. I don't even know what you're talking about. Allegedly, there's something on Google referring to Paul George. Referring to Paul George. That's where we're going to leave it. Not going to dive into how far.
You're sending everybody to Google, man.
It's a large place. It's a large place. Anyway, I'm cool. I'm cool for a multitude of reasons. I don't think it's the wisest move to make. come on, bro. We really can't do that here.
I'm definitely not going there. I'm mad you even brought this shit up, bro.
Nah, bro, we can't do that. Oh man, I forgot you said. Anyway, so
Paul George is just another name that people get attached to. He's a semi-star, so everybody's like, all right, bring him here. But like, I think they forget that he was teamed up with the other guy who's always injured, Kawhi Leonard, and they really haven't done anything. So it's just like, what are you seeing that you want him here so badly? I don't know. I feel like we get caught up on these names and then we're not really looking at what we need. And I mean, that's not fair, because he still has a good shooting percentage, points per, you know, point game, you know, on average is decent. Is he going to continue that? I don't know. But I feel like there's so many other.
He's actually a perfect fit, though. I think if he was right, yeah.
Healthy, yeah, he'd be perfect. But
what makes him a perfect fit?
Because we need, what we lack is a big wing, right? A big wing that could defend and hit shots. Like, he's that guy, bro. Yeah. Like, he is like prototypical of what the Knicks lack, bro.
Literally what we want RJ to be. He's literally
pretty much.
He's literally
pretty much. A little,
but the thing,
is, even though RJ has got a little bit less size,
right? He's seasoned right now, so it's just like, and injured, so like that makes him perfect.
No. In terms of playing style, his playing style, it fits this team,
right?
I think I think if Paul George was healthy,
his what style?
Jelani was good.
His playing style.
His what style?
Playing.
Oh, playing when he plays. Got it. Go ahead.
Wait, hold on. What's going on here?
No, I mean he's gonna he's gonna get injured. He's not gonna be playing.
Yeah, I thought I had a pause moment, bro. I had to make sure.
No. Cool. I'm just saying, like, if his playing style is perfect, but he's not accustomed to playing, what good does that do us?
You sound like my boy Leek. Shout out to my boy Leek. He's always in the group chat with my boy Jelani and Michael's in the chat right now. And his thing is that if you don't play, you're a bum. That's it. Like, there's no escaping bum status.
You are, because you averaging 0 points, 0 rebounds, and 0 assists, bro.
Right. Like, if you if you're not playing, you're a bum.
Right.
I'm sorry. If you're averaging around 60 to, like, not even 65. I can't even give him that. How many games does he average for the last four? Bro, come on. You're a bum. Now, talent-wise.
He's there.
He's like I said, he's literally exactly what we would need talent-wise and playing style if his playing style was healthy.
Right.
But, I mean, it's like every time you turn around, he's hurt. Every time you turn around, Kawhi's hurt. It's just, I can't do it, man. I can't do it. That's just me. Anyway, what we got? Lonnie said, Paul George is a bucket. I'm definitely not hating. I'm a fan. But you can't score buckets from the bench while wearing
sure
a bionic knee brace.
Sure can. You definitely
can't. Can't do that. Hold on. Why are we doing this to Leek? Bro, Leek not even in shape. Stop listening to that man. Listen, first of all, we're not going to shame anybody right now who's not in shape. All right? Because you are Mr. Pro Baller and you still play ball, you can't do this to people, right? You gotta ease up. You gotta ease up. So that's just me. You gotta ease up on Leek. Sometimes he'd be trying to breathe a little bit easier for Leek. You know what I'm saying? Is D Rose a bum? Yes. I love him. That's my guy. I'm not trying to hate on him. But I mean, if we're labeling this a bum and you fit the criteria, it's not that you're trash. It's just like, you know, it's just bum status when you don't really. But to be honest, it's not really Rose's fault as of recent. It's Tibbs' fault that he hasn't been playing. So I'm going to give Rose a pass. So Rose is less of a bum than Paul George, far as I'm concerned. Zion Williamson, Lord of the Bums.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. That dude there, he got a lot of time for a whole lot of other stuff.
Yo, he's being championed to come to New York. I don't get why we're so
quiet. I mean, I get why. Players.
Why? Explain it to me.
Because when you talk about, like, everybody whose name come up, right, so far, right? Like, mm-hmm. The Zach LaVines, the Paul Georges, yep. Right? All of these guys.
Bradley Beal.
These names that Bradley Beal, like, there's risk reward with all of these guys, right? Correct? We agree on that?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So the height of, like, you want to talk about, like, the height of, like, risk versus reward, like, it don't get any higher on the reward end, the possibilities of the rewards. If you were to bring a guy like Zion here and he gave you what you think that what we know he can give when he's healthy, right? So that's why I think that's where the intrigue comes from, is because I said this on the Frozen Envelope. I said, out of all the trade proposals that I've heard so far regarding the Knicks, mm-hmm. none of the trade proposals raise both our floor and ceiling at the same time, yeah. Right? All of them could potentially raise our ceiling,
and lower.
Right? But if they don't work out, like, the bottom is dropping out the floor, bro.
That's a fact.
So, so it's, there's no trade out there right now that's being linked to the Knicks that's not spooky as hell.
I wanted to mention something, because I was on, shout out to Phil of Morning Brew Sports.
Shout out Phil.
I'm a
my whiskey brother.
But Shout out to, I was on the show with him last night with CK2K as well. And we were talking about just the where we are right now with everything. And he made a great point. Phil made a great point saying that we are in the same position that the Nuggets were a few years ago, and they made a move to get Aaron Gordon. And then that kind of was what they needed to just start making the elevation to where they are now. Mm-hmm. So, and he's saying that if we don't make a move this year with all the other teams getting better around us, we definitely might fall a little bit, basically. And my only rebuttal to that would be is, you know what I mean? Like Boston was one of those teams. They just got Porzingis. So, you know, everybody assumes they're going to be better. We don't know. Because we know we've had Porzingis before. Mm-hmm. So we know how that goes. Now, they got him for a steal right after, like, his best season in the NBA. But, like, I was trying to say that the Celtics were stable for a lot longer than we were stable. Like, we won one round this year. I almost said two rounds. We won one round this year in the playoffs. And, like, that was it. Like, this is the first time we've... I mean, 2 years ago, we were there. But I don't see 2 years ago... I don't count that as this team as well. I still feel like that was a completely different roster.
It was.
So, I can't... Right now, we've only been stable for a year, is my point. Like, I just feel like we have to continuously grow, but at the same time, we can't sit here and just start making moves just to catch up with everybody else around us, because don't have the stability that these other teams have. The Denver Nuggets' stability, they have had it for a long time. That's why they were able to make the Aaron Gordon trade.
Right.
The same thing with the Boston Celtics. That's why they were able to make the Kristaps Porzingis trade. Just all of these guys. All of these guys that we're worried about being a better team or making better improvements than we did this offseason. It's like, I don't necessarily want to focus on that because I don't know how else to say it, but we just need to be more stable.
To your point, Joe, and I agree with you, Josh. I feel like we need to make a move because everybody else is making moves, and we know what we're lacking. And oh, here's a good quick fix. But to your point, Joe, risk versus reward. I feel like what Josh just said or Apollo just said was the stability that the team had. They could make an appropriate trade for their team. And risk reward. Aaron Gordon, for what they needed him to do, it was very low risk to the reward that they got.
Facts.
For us to take on an injury prone player, like you said, the floor is going to open up. Like, it's just, we don't have that stability yet. We just got Jalen Brunson. Yeah,
It could be so bad, yo.
So when I hear these players all over Twitter and Instagram and stuff say, oh, come to New York, I'm not sold on that. I'm not saying, and this has nothing to do with their ability to play the game.
Facts.
That's a lie. It has no, their skill, but their ability to play the game is what's withholding my confidence in them coming to New York. Zion Williamson, Paul George, who was the other one that's usually injured? Oh, Zach LaVine, like that bothered me. Yeah. Bradley Beal, even though I don't feel like he fits on New York, I would be more prone to having him come, but still, for what he required, would destroy the team.
And right. Zach healthier than all of them.
Yes, and I don't know if that's a good thing or
good thing, right? Yeah, crazy shit.
And again, they made their mark on the NBA, so I'm not saying that they suck. I mean, we just call them bums, but I'm not saying that that is the only reason why we shouldn't get them. I think the fit for the team is also good. So we just got to slow down with these trade offers. Yes, we need to make a trade. I think everybody's on board for that. But we should make the right trade.
There you go. It's the right one. And I mean,
I agree.
It's it's easier said than done. Of course, it's easier said than done. I would hate to be Leon Rose.
They're doing fine because we were about to have a riot when we didn't get Donovan Mitchell, but then we rolled with Jalen Brunson. A lot of people didn't even have Jalen Brunson on the front of their mind, and then he just blew up. So it shows that the fans don't exactly know everything that their team needs to succeed. So, you know, I just slow down.
It's funny that you said that. I think someone brought back a tweet that, or a quote that Phil Jackson has said 6 years ago, I think around the time when he was about to be out of here, saying that he loves how passionate the Knicks fans are, but they can hinder the progress of a team sometimes. And I'm like, yeah, if you're listening to Knicks fans, it'll hinder the progress. Team, like, why are y'all listening to Knicks fans? Like,
that's your one problem. One thing that this regime don't give a shit what we talking about.
They can't get rid of the voice of the fans, though. Yeah. They're gonna hear it.
They're gonna hear the fans. Like, no
they
matter,
they hear the fans, but they don't gotta listen to us.
They don't gotta listen. Yeah,
absolutely.
That's the thing. It's just you.
Just because we outside the garden saying we want Zion, that don't mean that they gotta go get Zion.
Exactly. And I think for many years. They were listening to the fans, and that's
why 100%.
Teams were in such shambles.
Yep.
But
I don't know. I mean,
trying to make people happy.
Thank God for analytics. This way, they can actually follow numbers now instead of people's opinions on basketball. Toxic says Zion got to pass a physical and an STD test.
That's what I was laughing at earlier. I didn't want to say nothing though, because Cap was talking, but. I had to low key laugh at that earlier.
Fam, nah, I don't know what's going on. Mike says Zion was on house party chasing kid around the yo, he dead ass look like Zion.
He do look like that dude, yeah.
Yo, y'all are stupid. He said, I swear Rick got every color Nick hat.
Yo, I'm trying, yo. I'll be searching it and I was like, yo, they got it in purple. It's
that's fire.
If you see it, let me know.
He told me to step my lids up. He said step your kids up, but I know what you meant, bro. Don't talk about that. My kids had nothing to do with this shit, okay? Let's just take it easy. Jose said the good thing about getting Zion is RJ will be able to keep an eye out on him. I don't think RJ cares. That's the crazy thing. I honestly think RJ is one of those dudes who, no matter what, like, you notice how he's never on social media.
Yeah, he'll roll whatever.
Every summer, you don't know where the hell he's at. I like that about... That's what I like about RJ. I like how RJ does not need to be in the spotlight. He doesn't need people to see the progress he's making. Right. He's just focused on fixing it himself. Now, is he perfect? No. Absolutely not. But, you know, I appreciate the certain things that you're getting out of RJ that you don't get out of other guys. So, you know, let's see. Hitting the chat one more time. He said, how many times have the Knicks unloaded their roster for injured players or players past their prime?
That's my point.
That has got to stop. We've got years of that on our track record.
Yeah, so what I say to that, though, is we unloaded some players who not one turned into an all-star. Mm-hmm. Always a bunch of role players for a guy who was in his prime and totally healthy, and Knicks fans were still mad about the trades.
You're talking about level trade.
You know exactly what trade I'm talking about. Yeah. So what are you gonna do? You can't make everybody happy, you know.
This is why you don't listen to Knicks fans? You do what you're supposed to. And this is what I was saying the other day because somebody was mentioning.
I would make the Melo trade 10 times over, bro.
I mean. I would want this regime to make the Melo trade because I want to see how
they would have around. They would have probably built on that a lot better than those knuckleheads did, bro.
Because, well, they were operating out of fear. And that's kind of what I was going to allude to. You know what I mean? The past regimes operated mostly out of fear because you had a time clock. If by this time this wasn't happening, James Dolan was like, all right, yo, you got to go. So, you know what I mean? Like
they traded a first round pick for Andrea Bargnani, bro.
Bro.
And that pick turned into DeMar DeRozan, bro.
Bro. Come on, man. It's just weird, bro. Like that whole roster, that it just everything was just silly. So I say that to say though a lot of Knicks fans, you would be surprised how many Knicks fans are not a fan of Leon Rose right now.
Really?
There are a lot of them that are pissed off. And it's because we haven't made a trade. And it's like, who do y'all want us to go get, man?
Right.
But I feel like Knicks fans are focused way too much on making a trade, and I feel like they're focused way too much on what other teams are doing.
Yes.
Right. Forget true. What those other teams is doing. We gotta worry about the long term health of the New York Knicks. Like, y'all operating off of, oh, the Celtics made a trade. So who cares, yo? The Phoenix Suns made a trade, right? They already had three guys. Yeah. They made a trade and went out and got another guy, right? That dude got a trade kicker, right? A 15% trade kicker. They're going to be paying that dude like 60-something million, or is it 70-something million the final year of his contract? Like, that's and what then, y'all want? Like, this is the shit y'all asking for.
And that's
people
that's
mad that John Collins got traded to Utah. Who cares?
I don't care. And you know what I mean? Like that's kind of what I was alluding to, because it's, you know, we have this thing like, all right, whenever would the Knicks want to make a move, it's harder to make a move than anyone else, which is facts, which is factual. And I forgot who was it in the TFE group chat that was talking about it, about how past regimes, basically all these other owners don't want to help us. And that's why for so many years we've been in this like just state of trying to climb out of a hole, because whatever we've done over the years is we've rubbed somebody the wrong way. So my thing is that, yeah, I would love to blame it on the rest of the owners and governors of the league and say, listen, y'all need to start being more fair to us. But we still drafted players every single one of those years, and they were terrible drafts. So, like, I don't want to sit here and cast blame on anyone else. For years, we drafted terribly, and we developed terribly. So the one thing we had control over, we didn't take care of. You know what I mean? And that's just how I'm looking at it. For a long time, we had control over nothing but who we drafted. So that should have been all of your focus. You should have had the best staff in here for all of that. But no. When you have an owner who kind of wants you to win now, you don't have the opportunity to develop your guys.
So, right. You know, Xavier said, was RJ the best pick in that draft? No.
No.
I think Ja was
still the best pick in that draft.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
But I think
currently with, you know, he's the top one that has no drama centered around him that's steadily improving. So yeah.
But I would even argue that Darius Garland is better than RJ Barrett. So
Darius,
no, guys, kid's got an all-star under his belt.
Yeah. I think he's better. And I don't think there's anything wrong with saying Darius Garland is better, especially because he plays a completely different position.
But Ja is still the best player in that drop to this date. Like right now, if we're talking on June 28th, 2023, Ja is the best player in that drop.
I will say, though, if Zion was healthy, there would be no question about who's the most dominant player in that draft.
For sure.
Without a doubt. Anyway, let's see. Toxic says, yo, the playoffs turn me off. Donovan Mitchell, his playoff effort seems kind of sus.
Really?
And that's something that I didn't hear a lot of people talk about, but it's something that I noticed.
I didn't notice it, bro.
I'm not gonna lie.
He had like one bad game.
But no, if you look at his career playoff numbers, he's a terrific playoff performer. Yeah.
No,
like sure. he had a miserable series. He had a miserable series against the Knicks. He had more than one bad game, Ricky.
Not that I saw. I feel like terrible. And then
you know what, Rick? You're right.
Yeah.
There was the one game where they won. If you remember the one game they won, where he really took a back seat.
Yeah.
Like he kind of chilled in that game, and Darius Garland kind of went crazy.
Yeah. Yeah,
but
yeah,
I thought he played under control. I think he had like double digit assists in that game.
He played well. Then his numbers were high.
I think he was just okay though. He wasn't great though by any stretch of the imagination. And I think that in times where his team needed him, he came up a little small in that series. But I mean. If you look at his career playoff performance, like he's a good playoff performer, man.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna shit on him because he had a bad series against a Knicks team that was just better than his team.
They were
like they beat them 7 out of 9 times they played them. They're just a better team.
Yo, it's the crazy thing about it is I was talking. Shout out to Toon, cause of no, that wasn't Toon. I was just saying I clicked that by accident while I said shout out to Toon. I don't know why that happened. Anyway, shout out to Toon. I was talking to Toon about it, and I was like, no matter what we like, as frustrated, because Toon was very frustrated. He wants us to make a move. Like, why aren't we making moves? And I'm like, listen, if we'd have made a move, like right now we're not making moves and everyone's pissed. We would have made a move and everybody would be mad that we
exactly. True, bro. You know what I mean?
So like last year, everybody was pissed off because of how our offseason went. Oh, we overpaid Jalen Brunson. Oh, we didn't get Donovan Mitchell. This and that. And with Jalen Brunson, we got past Donovan Mitchell, which,
word.
I mean, don't get me wrong, it's a team effort, but they made that move for Donovan Mitchell because they were believed to be closer to their window than we were. And we got rid of them in 6 games.
What they didn't realize, though, you know what they didn't realize? They didn't realize that having two bigs and neither one of them could space the floor at all.
Yep.
They didn't realize how detrimental that would be in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And the Knicks just took full advantage of that. You got you're gonna play a lineup with three guys, only three guys that can shoot.
Nah, it doesn't make sense.
like we're gonna burn you for that. Something's gonna have to happen for them next year. Like Moby's gonna have to stretch extend his range.
Yeah,
to really take them over the top and get in the weight room as well.
Yeah, that was another thing. He just didn't like the contact that was being thrown at him from Julius Randle and Mitch. Mm-hmm. Like it wasn't an environment that looked very. It didn't support him very well.
Right. Playoffs are a different animal, man.
Different animal. Let's circle back. There was another guy,
huh? Jalen Martin.
Yeah, another guy.
Jalen Martin, right?
Yeah, another guy that we actually didn't draft, but he
another
went.
Another Jalen.
Yeah, we signed him. He was an undrafted guy. 6'6", about 215, 220. The guy is actually a good two-way player. What happened?
Izzy, man. When I'm in Florida, bro, I'm coming to get some of those sweet potato pie wontons.
I've been watching everything that I ain't gonna front. I'm like, yo, I'm just a fire, bro.
Izzy. If I'm ever down there, bro, I'm making a trip, yo.
Shout out to you, my guy.
Yo, just send a postage box and he can pack that up and send it up to you. Pay shipping, handling, and take care. I've done that before.
You ship food?
Yeah.
I don't know if I could do it from that far, bro.
Are you kidding me? Amazon, you could order something on Amazon tonight, and it will be on your doorstep in probably like 3 hours.
But that's because they have an Amazon warehouse. Like,
yeah, you get it next day.
You send me some sweet potato.
That's gonna be the most expensive sweet potato wontons ever, yeah.
Probably. You freeze them.
Bro gonna pay like $30. He gonna pay like $30 for next day delivery on some sweet potato wontons.
Yo, you get a box. Yo, send some your way. Send some your way. Be good for a little bit. Freeze that. Put it. Yeah, people do that all the time.
Xavier says, would you do a Donovan Mitchell trade or just wait for him in free agents? I'm waiting. Well, I'm waiting, and not only am I waiting, if I'm Cleveland, first of all,
what do they need?
They just traded for this man.
You better resign this man.
You just traded for this man last year, bro.
That is true. And he definitely wasn't a problem, so.
Yeah, so like, he better not be traded, or people will look around the league. They will look at Cleveland very, very differently than they are right now. You can't move him right now. He wasn't the problem. You know what I mean? Like I thought we were past the Donovan Mitchell thing, and it's not even you, Xavier. I mentioned it yesterday in the show because people are bringing it up again because I guess Brian Windhorst brought up a picture that was posted with Donovan Mitchell with his dad and what's our associate head coach? Johnny Bryant, Stephen A. Smith, like a whole bunch of guys. And I'm like, and he was at a Mets game, of course. I think his dad used to work for the Mets or something like that. And I'm like, everybody's going up in arms because he's in New York. And I'm like, y'all realize he played in the West Coast his entire career, right? And he's now on the East Coast, like maybe 5 driving hours from New York. You're going to see a lot of Donovan Mitchell all summer long as he's on the East Coast. You know what I mean? And he's in the Northeast.
He's especially during baseball season, bro.
Especially like, during baseball season. Like you're
his going dad to- is here. He's a Mets fan. He's like, right. Come on.
It's family. What's her name? Not Malika Andrews. What's the other one? Taylor Rooks was there. Like, what's the other one?
I'm trying to be wherever Taylor at, but you know, that's another show.
Right, that's another show. Definitely another show.
Everybody. Everybody in my job knows I love me some Malika Andrews, though, man.
Nah.
I'm good on Malika, bro. I like the way she looks aesthetically, but she's a fuck. Let me shut up. We might have Malika on the show one day.
Allegedly.
Malika is awesome.
She's great.
Yeah, I take my lunch break late just so I could watch her show.
She's an amazing young lady.
Toxic says there's only one answer. There's only one answer to the Knicks free agency question, and his name is Elfrid Payton. What the hell happened to that dude, son?
Where is
Elfrid Payton?
Is he in the NBA?
In China.
I that. Hold on. He's in China for real?
China. No, I don't know.
China.
Let me see Elfrid Payton.
My man is on Shanghai Sharks right now. Going crazy, hitting threes.
Yeah, why is that always the go-to Chinese team?
I don't know.
Oh no, Shanghai is the only spot in China that got a basketball team. Apparently,
the last stat that
got yo, salute to the chat. They got my back, yo.
What you mean?
They know what's going on, bro. Oh, I can't say it because I'm on the panel, but you know, no.
What?
I'm not aware of this.
Who? Which brother? Who?
Every brother, bro.
No.
Every brother, bro.
Apostrophe S is what he's saying. He misspelled it the first time. He's saying apostrophe S.
Yeah, sure.
No, I'm saying,
which individuals.
Off the show. You know.
It's not the place for it. It's not
Knicks related anyway. So
allegedly, there's brothers who are not too fond of Malika Andrews, and that's not anyone over here on this side.
You can't. Not everybody's gonna love you, right?
Not everybody's gonna love you.
It just happens. So Elfrid Payton, they said that the last stat they got him in the NBA is 2021-2022. So last season, where did he play?
Yo, first of all, if Elfrid is really at home right now, that is so messed up.
Damn. But everybody's at home right now. It's the offseason.
No. Mm-mm. You shouldn't be at home, bro.
Elfrid might be on vacation, traveling with his family.
Vacation from what, Joe?
Hey, it's summertime, bro. I mean, people take, you know, summer trips.
He can go on vacation in February if he really wants to, because technically
I wasn't even going to say all that, bro. Like, damn.
Nah, shout out to my man, Elfrid, man. He is the reason why we are where we are today. Let's be real. If it wasn't for Elfrid, we wouldn't have noticed how much we needed a point guard, and we wouldn't have Jalen Brunson. We wouldn't have. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess. I mean,
I don't know.
That's some logic, but
I'm trying to make it make sense. Listen,
but he showed Jaylen us what we needed and what we didn't need, and we didn't need a point guard that couldn't score. So
and we didn't need.
We made an adjustment.
So he showed us what we didn't need, and what we didn't need was
shout out to Elfrid Payton, man.
Didn't need him.
Now you know what though, Elfrid was, if nothing else, Elfrid was a good Knick.
He was a pro.
That's what I mean. He was a good soldier, bro.
I think he, and I said it plenty of times during this season, the infamous Elfrid Payton season. Yeah. I didn't hate Elfrid. I just don't think he should have been our starting point guard. And right. I think that's where a lot of the problems happen with him. I would have much rather you throw Quickly out there. I don't care what this guy's offering you. He can offer it to you from the bench. He can. He can help you by being your second guy off the
Quickly
off
wasn't the, ready then.
I would have liked for him to provide veteran leadership from the bench.
From the bench, yes. Like you didn't have to play and start 40 damn 30 something minutes, bro. Like
from
his veteran leadership off the bench would have been tremendous.
Yo, bro, we got Derrick Rose off the bench, veteran leadership, bro. Why couldn't Elfrid Payton play that role? Why couldn't he?
You mean the role that he played, that Derrick Rose played this year for us?
Yeah, this year. That's what I'm saying. All right.
Make sure we're all on the same page.
Yes. The role that Derrick Rose played this year. That is what, you know what I mean? Why couldn't, I don't know. Tibbs he's very strange sometimes with things.
Yeah, we won a lot of games that year, bro. Like this is the thing. Yeah. Like I get it. Like,
bro,
it's almost like you look at some of the shit Tibbs does, right? And you're like, bro, why? But then you look at the results and you're like,
Yo, bro, I live by. You're only as good as you are in the playoffs. I don't care what you did during the regular season. Mm-hmm. So if in the playoffs you're
unplayable, you got to the second round.
No, Elfrid Payton.
My bad. Yeah. I was talking about Tibbs. Yeah. Tibbs got us to the second round. Yeah. I thought you was talking about. Yeah, no, I thought you was talking about.
Hold on, hold on. How about he got us to the playoffs with that team? We look at that roster now, and we could say, hey, are we gonna make it to the playoffs? A lot of us would have been like,
yeah. Elfrid Payton was the starting point guard for a 4 seed in the NBA, a team that hosted a first round playoff series.
Mm-hmm. Guys, that don't mean shit to me.
But you just said that.
Doesn't mean shit.
The regular season doesn't matter. It's just what they do in the playoffs. Correct.
Yes.
Correct.
Rest. Correct. So this is what I'm saying. In the playoffs, if the best Tom Thibodeau could have done with this guy was, yeah, we shouldn't play you no more at all. Like, anymore. We're going to cold turkey throw you on the bench.
Yeah, it was weird.
Like, you had to have seen something the previous 82 games, Tom. Like, you didn't see nothing for those 82 games that made you say, maybe this guy shouldn't be started.
But keep in mind.
So you demoted him from a starter to not playing at all mid-series?
That was a shakeup. I dislike when that happens. But like we know, he's a defensive coach, and Elfrid Payton authored defense. And so, you know, you're going to play defense. You're going to play the game. And that he did.
They put that man on the Phoenix Suns. Listen. He went back home. Jaylen Martin, right? The other guy that we picked up and signed. Because I don't want to sit here and talk about
going Elfrid down Payton, the rabbit bro. Hole. Sorry.
We already, that's pain. That's pain right there talking. That's pain. That's all that was, Elfrid. You didn't do nothing to me, man. That's just pain talking. I hope you have a great vacation this summer.
Yeah, we just spent mad time on Elfrid Payton.
On Elfrid Payton, bro. That's crazy. So
it's A1 podcasting.
A1. I blame the chat. Who was it? Who did that? Was that toxic? I think it was toxic. I'm blaming you, toxic.
Yeah, it was.
It was toxic.
He said that he was the answer.
How dare you enter that name into this vicinity? Oh my gosh. Jaylen Martin was the other guy that we had picked up immediately after the draft. A 6'6 guy from Overtime Elite, a two-way player. He can shoot, can play defense. He's pretty athletic.
I didn't realize he was 6'6".
Yeah, 6'6", 215. The kid can play, man. The kid can play. I think more than Jakob Toppin, I see this guy actually sticking on the team and them trying to really develop him. Because, I mean, he came from a developmental league. You know what I mean? So he's already on that trajectory of developing. That's so, true. You know what I mean? I really, and he's 19 years old. He's not 23 like Jakob. So I'm excited to see what this guy can bring us. Like I don't think we're gonna see a lot of him this year or any of him. He's gonna be more than likely in the G League. But maybe the year after, we'll see what we can get from him, what kind of development he makes. Like, do we have the space for him? I don't know. But if he turns out to be good, you best believe they're gonna try to make some space for him. But I don't know, that's just me. How do you guys feel about the prospect of Jalen Martin?
I'm looking at the highlights. Definitely.
Yeah, I like what I'm seeing.
Got an interesting jump shot. And the reason why I say that is, and I don't know if it's just by design, because he's been wide open on some of these.
Yeah.
But he takes a little while to get rid of it. I'm not sure how that's going to work for him.
I think he averaged
at the next level.
I think he averaged 14 or 15 points, one rebound and six assists, if I'm not mistaken. Let me double check that.
Ooh. But athletically, he's ready right now.
Yeah, athletically, he's got it.
He look good.
And great size, like, too.
Yeah.
6'6", 215.
Mm-hmm. And he can shoot.
And he can shoot.
And he can play. He can play off the ball. He seems to be in the right place. Well, these are highlights. So, I mean, let me not.
Yes, they are highlights, right? They are highlights. I think he has a lot. He has a lot of growth there that he can really make. But he looks like a smart kid. Yeah, it looks like he plays hard. Right place. Effort, yeah, like right place at the right time. He's
finishes.
I like the kid. This was the one move that we made on draft night that I was really like, okay, guys, you guys are doing you're doing your job. You're doing the scouting. I'm looking right now, and it says, let's see, Overtime Elite.
Mike Biz is not impressed.
He's not impressed, he said?
Nah.
I mean,
you watch the highlights of any player, you walk away a little impressed. You're not impressed at all?
He's saying he's playing against kids. Like, he's not 19, Mike.
I mean, it's the G League, bro.
He's playing in G League.
He's
playing.
Yeah, he's 19 playing against, I don't know, like, other kids and guys that are trying to make NBA rosters.
First of all, I just caught this. That was unnecessary.
I seen that. That was
really unnecessary. You didn't have to do
it. The reason that it's bothering me is because I find it to be almost accurate. Like, I don't like that. I think that.
Yo, Tibbs really looks like he eat Brussels sprouts with hot sauce. Yo, Tibbs.
Jose Garcia, what if the Knicks won 55 games next year?
And go one round further with 55 wins is also what he said.
I don't care how many games they win in the regular season. It's just like, what do they do in the postseason? I think that's all you care about, right? A lot of people hear often saying that the regular season doesn't matter, but
I don't. Do we want to watch a 41 win regular season where they like? Got to play a playing game and all of that. I don't think we want that.
No.
So it matters to some degree. You know, like, you want to be a top six seed, right? It almost worked for Miami. Like, they didn't win. Like, if you didn't win at all, you failed.
I don't know. I feel like it's still a success that you made it that far.
If I'm a Knicks fan this year, right, and we got to the NBA Finals and lost, I would still be moping right now, bro. I would not be okay. You? Yeah,
man, that would be enough for me to walk around like we won.
Because you know how hard it is to get back there, bro? I mean, don't take it for granted because Miami done it two of the last 3 years.
Yeah, it's next year, bro.
Yeah, if I get there, I want to win, bro.
Of course, everybody does. But
that shit stings.
There's only one winner every year.
I wouldn't rather be where we are now. So, like, if we lost in the finals, I would definitely be a lot less upset than how we lost now. You know what I'm saying?
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Because that means that we did something right. Like, repeat some of those things. At least, if you repeat some of those things that you did over the past year, as a team, as a front office, as a coach, as a player, if you can repeat some of those things that you did at least 80-90%, you can get almost back to where you were. So, would I say that I would be content with that team? Nah. But, like,
I see what you're saying. You know what I mean? If you put it that way, yeah. I guess I'm just thinking about what that sting would feel like, because I know how I would feel, bro.
I mean, I feel confident that we made it to the second round.
I'll be looking for a pillow to scream into.
I ain't gonna lie. The fact that Miami made it to the finals, it kind of made me like, okay, cool. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like we just lost to a random squad. You know what I mean?
You lost to the best team.
Yeah, you lost to the best team in the East. And that was the only team that stopped you, you know? So, and do I think we could have beat Boston?
I think so.
I think that in a perfect world, there was an opportunity for us to beat Boston. They're not a great, they're not a well-oiled machine. I'll say that. They have better parts than we do.
They were the first like 30 games, and then it just all fell apart.
Yeah, it fell apart. But I mean, if you watch them all year long, you know, okay, they have a problem with turning the ball over. And when one of those guys aren't hot, you're gonna have a problem.
It's like I said about them. Like, they were in desperate need of a point guard. Like, I know me and Harry kind of had like a back and forth because he was like, "No, Marcus Smart is.
He's a great guard, but he's not a point guard."
Yeah, like they needed somebody to get them organized and to take the ball out of those two guys' hands all the time because those two guys were just coughing it up, man.
Mm-hmm. And the moves that they made this year, they got better, but did they fix
it? They didn't address their weakness.
So if anything, the situation got worse. You got rid of our
guard now. That Brogdon shit is
scary.
I don't know what's going on there. Like, I don't even know. I want to know what Brian Windhorst was talking about.
Yeah, like, when is he going to be okay to play? Like, he might not play? Like,
They said he would be ready for the season. That's what Brian Windhorst said. Hmm. But Brian Windhorst said that there's something, right, that's showing up in his physicals that's making him untradeable.
Wow. That is freaking scary.
Wow.
But he also said that he'll be ready for the season. And it has nothing to do with the forearm injury.
That sounds like a heart condition or something. Yeah. Which I hope it's not, because that's not nothing to play with. Mm-mm. But
at all.
If it's an injury that's like a limb or something, like your knee, shoulder, elbow, like, I think they would have just said that.
Yeah, but Brian was, he made sure not to say what it was.
Yeah, it's
Brian didn't want to make things worse.
You're a little bit too secretive for me. I don't know how I'll be able to deal with it. If if I'm a team that has that kind of guy and you have to trade him and you can't, I don't know how do you
what are you gonna do?
What do you do there? And then the process, you trade away the one guard you did have that was like leading your team for the past 3, 4, 5 years. I don't know what they did, if that made them any better. I still don't even know.
I'm sure their fans are like, besides, hey, Knicks fans are like, oh, we can't trade this guy. We can't trade. And we don't really have like notable players like that. For them to give away the heart of their team, people love Marcus Smart in Boston.
Crazy.
And then
Marcus Smart.
He got the perfect name for Boston's, Bostonians, whatever. So they gave away the sixth man and the heart of their team. So I was just like, yo, their fans.
Well, no, they didn't give away. Brogdon. They tried.
That was the thought to trade him. So I was just like, wow. So that's how it's gonna be. you gotta win, man.
Yeah, and I mean, it's, but that's kind of goes back to what I was saying before, like the stability that you have as a roster. At once you reach a certain point, you say, all right, this hasn't worked for us over this amount of time.
Yeah.
Like, we made the playoffs once with this roster, and we're like, all right, we need to do this, 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 and that. It's like, yo, how do we know that this can't work? You know what I mean? Like, how do we know that this year, shit, let's just throw it out there. Let's just say Grimes takes a leap this year, which is possible. Yeah. It's possible for Grimes to take a leap. The same way Quickly took a leap from year 1 to 2 and 2 to 3, like, why can't Grimes make these leaps? You know what I'm saying? So you don't know how much of an improvement a player can make in the offseason. So I don't know, man. Like, that's how you can get in a position where you trade a guy away because of who he was last year. And over the summer, he put in the work to fix those things. Yeah. But you went and traded him away, and now he's in another place showing you that he fixed those things.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's too late now. You know what I'm saying? But, you know what I mean? That's just how it is. Unfortunately, you have to deal with that kind of stuff. But that's just, like I said, the stability. You trade away Marcus Smart now. I don't know what Jaylen Brown's decision is going to be, how that goes. That's still to be determined.
If he's about his money, he's staying right there.
If he's about his money. Yeah, now, he's, about his money. He's been known to be a guy that he won't just go with the flow. You know what I mean? Like, he's not just a go with the flow kind of guy. Jaylen Brown is the kind of guy who will voice his opinion. He's not too fond of the Boston fans, which I don't think necessarily plays into your money and team chemistry and camaraderie.
Right.
But it means something. It does mean something when you're thinking about, huh, so I got to play here for 5 more years after being called certain names. And
I want to know what they, well, never mind.
You know, you already know.
It's Boston.
You know, you don't even have
never to mind.
Right. You don't want to know.
You don't even need multiple choice for this one.
Right. You know, you know. It's A.
Yeah, hit that thumbs up for us, y'all.
That's it. Yeah, actually, yeah, we've actually reached that point today.
Oh, shoot. Y'all talking about the Tobias Harris comment?
No, I missed it. Tell me about that, because I was going to look that up, but talk to me about it.
Tobias basically said that Philly fans, casual Philly fans, would trade him for, what do you say?
Some sort of pastry,
a crumbled cookie.
What?
Yeah.
But little do they know, like, a 6'9 guy who could, you know, shoot 40% from three, guard multiple positions, and play 70 plus games a year, like, those guys, you don't just get those guys back in return.
Was so, he talking about Julius Randle?
He's talking about himself.
Sound like he was talking about an old NBA player.
But hold on. What I say in the chat, Ricky, I was like, yo, it's crazy hearing Tobias say this because that's how I feel about Julius.
Yeah.
Like, Knicks fans just want to trade Julius for like a bag of chips. I'm like, yo, you're not getting a guy like that.
You're
like
not.
Those guys, those guys, bro. I mean, minus the you know, I mean, obviously Julius is a different player, right? He doesn't shoot 40% from three or guard three positions like Tobias does, but like he gives you 25, 10, and 3, and he's all NBA and a 2-time All-Star. Like, those guys are they're just not easy to find, bro.
I never was on the trade Julius Randle bandwagon. Like, I knew that there was things that he needed to. Yo, we on this show. Yo, we heard it so many times. Like, every season we heard it. But
I thought about it. I considered it. I considered it last season. I'm not gonna lie, because there was some things that was going on last season. I was like, but seeing now with Jaylen here, I think we're good.
I have become a Julius Randle apologist. I have.
Okay.
Does that mean that I want him on the Knicks for his entire career? No, it's not. I don't hate the guy anymore. I used to hate him. I couldn't stand him. But I actually like him as a person. He was actually more personable than I thought. So, do I feel like there are times where I don't think he's the right guy for this team? There's times where I'm feeling like that, but it, more than likely it's an emotional thing because he can play many roles, honestly. So I'm usually not the one, like, if the guy doesn't play well or he doesn't do this well, like, let's get rid of him. Like, yo, like, you're going to get rid of an entire player because of this? You know what I'm saying? Like, so do I think there's a lot that he can improve on? Like, the first show, when we got eliminated, what was I saying about Randall? It's the effort. That's what bothered me. It was the effort on both sides. Now, if he can continue to improve, like, there was the Paul George interview. I watched it. I don't know if you guys got to watch the entire thing.
I did.
There was some things that he had said that leads me to believe that he is a little bit more, there's more screws in there than I thought. That tight screws. There's more tight screws in there than I thought. I know maybe he was putting on a good face for the interview, maybe. Who knows? But saying things like, yeah, one thing I learned is you don't thumbs up a crowd. You know what I mean? I was a little emotional.
Don't. He said, listen, he knows, bro, right? He's like, listen, sometimes I let my emotions get the best of me.
You know,
like, you can't just go berserk like he be going berserk sometimes.
Right.
And have no clue, like, yo, I was wilding.
Wilding, yeah, there's no way. But that's why I didn't like him. I'm like, there's no way you're this person and you don't see that you're this person. Like, how do you not see that you're acting like the quickly thing, that threw me over. Like, that was it.
Yeah. A lot of people.
Yeah, he know he be wilding, bro. But, like, it's like he kept saying about Tibbs in the interview. He kept saying Tibbs can't help himself.
He can't help himself, bro.
Like, yo, he get pissed off and he just.
That's it. Respond.
Snaps, bro.
Now, do I see a lot of myself in Julius? Yes. And that's probably what made me start to like Julius a little more. Because I can't sit here and say that this times where I don't just get super emotional, especially when you're talking like basketball. Like, there's been plenty of times where I'm on the court and I act just like Julius, but not towards my teammates. That'd be the difference. I have with me and my teammates get into arguments, but it's love. They know it's love. How do I know that these guys don't know that it's love? You know what I mean? So it's like maybe a lot of the things that I judge Julius on, I'm looking at it objectively. So it's like easy to just pick out the wrong. Mm-hmm. But I think the guy is actually a good dude. You know what I mean? He's a good dude. Now, like I said, does that mean I want him here forever? No. If we find somebody better to fit this roster, sure, by any means. But I'm always going to wish Julius well because learning more about his story, knowing who he is, where he came from, his background, his upbringing, it kind of makes you like relate to that person a little bit more. Like, I kind of see why you're a little nutty sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get it. I've been there. So I say that to say I have over time become a Julius Randle apologist. I will no longer yell trade Julius. I won't. I promise you guys I won't say it again.
Because the answer is always going to be trade him for what?
Right. And like I was gonna say earlier,
crumble cookie.
Can you guys actually say that we could get equal value? Do you guys actually think we could get equal value for Julius Randle on the trade? Absolutely not. So that's that.
If we trade him, you know what it might turn into? And Knicks fans are gonna be pissed.
What?
It's gonna turn into one of these trades like we've seen already.
Oh yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Where it's just like, oh, so y'all didn't care to get nothing back. Y'all just wanted to dump the salary.
Right. Right.
Exactly. Like, that's what a lot of people have been saying.
So,
but the question does remain, though, right? So I think he's got 2 more years left on his deal, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. So, not next season, but the following season after that, 2024-25, he'll be expiring contract.
Hmm. I do
at think that at that point, right? At that point, you got to make a decision. He'll be 30 years old or something like that.
Yeah.
You got to make a decision of, are we going to continue to move forward with this dude? Or is he now expiring? Like, is he just cap space?
Well,
at that point.
At that time, I think, isn't Jalen Brunson nearing the end of his contract?
I think Jalen will be there. I think Jalen will probably be the year after, I want to say.
Okay. Or before? Because I know Julian
has an
extension.
Yeah.
So,
and I think the extension started last year. So I think this was year two of the extension.
Okay. And Jalen,
if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he got the contract, right? The We Here season.
No,
this might have been the first year of the extension.
Year one.
This is the first year of the extension. Yep. This is
year one of the extension. So
yeah,
he got three more years.
He got three more years.
Jalen Brunson, in two more years, I think his contract is up, and I'm pretty sure that they're going to pay him what he's worth at that point.
They have to.
So,
it's three more years. Then they sign him to 4 years?
Three more years.
Yeah, so they coming up at the same time.
Yeah, they're coming up at the same time. So they structured that like that on purpose. Now, does that, to me, that says, okay, let's see what we can get with these guys. And if by this time they haven't shown us whatever, we know to move on from this at that point, because you're giving them around the same window to work things out, which is why I don't believe Julius Randle's going anywhere unless God himself came down and was like, yo, I want to play for the Knicks. So I honestly don't think Julius Randle's going anywhere. You know what I'm saying? So there's no way you resign him to that much money.
Trade the whole and, team.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, right. Yo, I got God.
God got to – I just need to – Hey, nah, God got to go to summer league though, bro.
Yo, could you imagine him in the Jesus fixes going crazy? Backs from half court, splash. I'm like, yo, we got one of them.
Half
we
court, got the one. He'll inbound and take the shot from right there.
Yeah, he'll mess around, shit, and yeah. Him, turn around, and he'll beat it and catch it.
Start
I'm like, yo, what is going on here?
Yeah, it'll be the first A to win season, man.
Look, Jose says God better play defense, get him low with Tim. Yo, Tim's gonna sit God in the fourth. Yo, that's crazy.
Yeah, Tim's to have God turning his Gatorade to wine.
He's gonna be in the bench like, yo, Tim's is bugging. Right now, yo.
Oh my god.
Nah, but Julius isn't going nowhere, man. No, with that contract, he's here for the foreseeable future. Also with that contract, ain't no way somebody else is gonna pick him up or trade for him with that contract, because teams don't believe that he's worth that. Other teams. You know what I'm saying?
Ooh, Julius?
Yeah.
They don't think he's worth $27 million a year.
No, what I'm saying is trading for him. You know what I'm saying?
I got
in that contract. Now, if it's an expiring contract, sure. Why not? You know what I mean? But I don't think that teams
will. I think that contract is a contract that I would be willing to trade for. Like, so that's crazy value, bro. Like 25, 10, and 3 or 4, whatever it was, on $27 million a year. That's ridiculous value, bro.
You got to realize, though, when it comes to Julius's numbers, it's volume. There's a lot of volume with Julius's numbers,
but it's not inefficient though.
No. I'm talking about usage. Because of his usage.
I always talk about the ecosystem, right? Like, right. You try to put that guy into the ecosystem of your team, like, that shit is hard, bro.
Yeah, because I mean, if we put Julius Randle on the Warriors, what is his stats? Let's be real. He might be averaging.
But you heard what he said though, right? In his interview, like, he want to play with, contrary to popular belief, right? Because everybody thinks that, like, he's a hater and all this shit. I never believed that, but I let people say what they say. Mm-hmm. Contrary to popular belief, he said, like, my best years when I'm playing with people who are
better than me.
Better than me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I never thought that he was like jealous of Jalen. And the reason why I never thought that was because there were so many games in the fourth quarter, you could tell that he knew who the man was.
Right.
Like, he would straight up defer. Like, yo, it's your time now, bro. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. I suck in these last 5 minutes, bro. Like, it's your time.
But even that self-realization is something that you need. Like, I'm not going to just let my pride take over and lose this game, because he took a couple of game deciding. Yeah, but that's not the right term. Game deciding shots. Yeah, all right, that works.
Yeah,
works. He took a couple of game deciding shots, and his average wasn't high. And you got this guy, Jalen Brunson, who is like, he has no fear whatsoever, and he delivers. So,
mm-hmm. Remember the one game, the Lakers game, where we were wondering why Tibbs went there. And he never got a shot off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I just got mad all over again. Listen,
you were so mad after that game, bro.
Fuck off.
You were so mad after that game, bro. Like, Josh was tight, yo.
I was like, yo.
Just why?
Your cat was tight, yo.
Why did that happen? Why would you go to the corner where LeBron James?
All right. LeBron James is a different type of player. But, you know, Julius Randle, he had that shot against the
Miami
Heat. That was probably one of my favorite endings to a game.
That's one of my favorite game winners.
So much tension, and it just...
Yeah,
it
was, so much stuff happened on that play.
Yeah, a lot.
I mean, he lost the ball, got it back. Great defense. Lost it again. Step back, pull up three over two guys.
It was nuts.
One of them was Jimmy Butler.
Exactly.
Like, come on, that's...
And the crowd went nuts, man. Crazy. And I could imagine.
It reminded me a lot of when RJ hit the game win over Boston.
Boston?
And the crowd went crazy. That was at home. This one, that one was actually in Miami. It was in Miami. So, very, very, very memorable things. Listen, man. Also, shout out to Khalid Moore, who played for Fordham. Yes, he played for Fordham.
Yes, Fordham. Fordham.
And he will be playing on the Summer League roster this year. So, Quentin Grimes will be on the Summer League roster. I'm looking forward to him dropping 40 every game, because that's what he should be doing at this point. If he's not dropping 40, I want him traded. And I want him traded as soon as possible. Listen, bro.
Damn.
Bench Grimes or trade him.
Hashtag bench Grimes.
You gotta bench him. Nah, but
I wonder if I still got that paper laying around somewhere.
I know you do.
You probably threw it out as soon as the season
ended. I threw it out.
But listen, if you guys are still here, if you are still here in the chat, hit that like button, hit that subscribe, tell a friend. If you're listening to podcast form, do me a quick favor. Leave us a 5-star review. And just tell us what you think about what's going on here. You guys got any final words that you want to let on out before we get on out of here?
I do.
Uh-oh.
these people listening probably be like, yo, these niggas play too much. Yeah.
What you about to say?
That they got to be thinking like, yo, these jokers play too much, yo. Hey man, we here to have fun, yeah.
That's it.
It's the off season. Like,
what are you really gonna talk about?
Yeah, it's not like anything crazy is happening. We had a snooze drive, and we're sitting here talking about guys who played for the G League Ignite team or whatever, overtime or whatever team that is in the G League. So it was some of my guys who played at Fordham. Who went undrafted. Listen, guys. If nothing else, on a night like tonight, we're gonna play.
We're gonna have some fun. We definitely gonna have some fun. Also, something that we didn't mention. Dante DiVincenzo declined his option with the Warriors to become a free agent. So
interesting.
Jalen Brunson wants him. Josh Hart has been on record actually saying he wants Dante DiVincenzo here.
I think that happens before anything else does.
It happens.
You know how the saying goes, where there's smoke.
There's smoke. Mm-hmm.
So, all right, before we get out of here, guys, like, question. So, I'm putting DiVincenzo in with a pen, bro. Like, I'm not even penciling him in. I'm putting it in with a pen.
You think it's definitely gonna happen?
I think it's happening.
Okay.
Where do his minutes come from?
The question has been going on all over Twitter for the past 17 hours.
So this is what I think. Can I tell you what I think?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. RJ?
I look at him like this. I don't know if Tibbs is gonna try to reset next season and go back to 10.
He should, but go ahead.
Wouldn't be a bad idea, especially we're not talking now 23 games in. We're talking now full 82. Like 10 might not be a bad idea. Yeah. But
endurance
practice. Yeah, exactly. Like when he finally went to that 9-man rotation, there was only 59 games left. So my thing is this. If we bring this guy in, right? Like, what does it mean as far as, like, who's losing minutes, right? And also, does that open up even more a possibility for a trade? Because if he's nothing else, he's great, like, insurance to have, right? In case we trade one of these guards at some point, right? Mm-hmm. To have a guy like that to fall back on, and just if he's not in your rotation to start the season, you could just slide him into your rotation once you make whatever trade. So, and if somebody gets hurt, right? Injuries happen. So, I don't mind it. I don't even care about his minutes. I don't care if he's the 10th man, the odd man looking out as far as like a 9 or 10 man rotation. Just to have a guy like that is, because there's so much going on with this roster, bro. Like, or so much that we think might happen with this roster. Especially with this glut that we have with the guard / wing position. Mm-hmm. Not bad to have a guy like Dante.
Signing Dante, if Dante's here with a pen, that means that you are somewhere else with a pencil using the eraser. That's just as far as I'm concerned. Like, somebody, like, there's no way you're going to have Dante DiVincenzo here and still have RJ, still have Grimes, still have Hart. I don't see how he plays many minutes without someone else moving. I don't think it's just as easy as widening your rotation to 10 guys, because I mean, you have a starting five and you have a backup five. You don't have a bunch of guards like just playing as your backup. You gotta have teams match up with you. So if your backup is quickly Josh Hart, who's your backup wing? Is Josh now your backup?
Well, Josh was our backup wing last year.
Yeah, Josh is the backup
towards wing. The end of the season.
Who played the two mainly backup?
Was that RJ was in there a lot with them?
Yeah, he ran with the second unit.
Oh, okay. So in that case, so then he takes RJ's minutes. Not starters.
Right, minutes
that he would be playing mostly with the bench. Yeah, you know what I mean? So if instead of RJ finishing the game with 38, 39 points, I mean minutes, I would love him to finish the game with that much points. But maybe he finishes the game around 32, 33, and a little bit more efficient. I'm fine with that.
You said, Jose, you said it's DiVincenzo number 10? Not in New York, he ain't.
Who's number eight? Quickly number 10? No.
No. It's Clyde. It's Clyde's number, bro.
Hell. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's retired. That's
ain't no. Hey, he ain't number 10 in New York.
Nah, it's over for him. It's over for that.
And he can't be 11 either because his man's got that number.
Yeah. Yeah, Jalen Brunson has definitely helped us forget that Nillikina wore that number for a long time.
Ooh.
Wow. Wow. I can't believe
you did that. Is that Owl on the panel?
I can't believe you did that, Rick.
No. He's on the other Knicks team now, so he's still good.
He's on Knicks West. That's facts. He's on
Knicks West.
He's on Knicks West.
Shout out to Mark Cuban.
Yeah, that's pretty much. Oh, last question. I swear, I promise. How do you guys feel about the fit with Chris Paul and Golden State?
I think it's great for them.
I'll hold my opinion.
Well,
you asked the question. You hold your opinion.
Until you guys are done.
I think it's great for them in the sense of, like, I think it could be functional, like, on the court, right?
Mm-hmm.
With the way they play and all the movement and all of that, right? I mean, there's still the Dre of it all, right?
Like, yeah.
Because, I don't know, Dre's kind of a weird dude. Dre already just came out publicly and was just like, I don't fucking like the guy.
Wait, did you hear that?
I did not hear that.
He said that.
You didn't hear that?
After they picked him up, bro?
After they picked him up, he flat out said, I don't like him. Just like that, bro. Like, it wasn't like, he said, I don't like him. I have no relationship with him at all. Chris Paul. Chris Paul. He said, I don't like him. I don't like him. I never liked him. He always felt like when Steph was coming up, that he tried to be like fake cool with Steph. To try to, like, I guess, get like how Michael Jordan used to take you out to dinner the night before he cooked you for 40, trying to get like an emotional edge on Steph. So he said that he always tried to drive a wedge between Steph and CP3. This is exactly what he said, bro. Bro didn't hold back at all. I'm surprised I didn't hear that.
That is very, very.
I gotta find that. I'm gonna find that for you. It's a whole clip.
Or it's like,
I think he was on somebody else. I think he was on somebody else's show. I'm trying to remember who right now. But he was like, I don't like him. He looked right into the camera like, I don't like him.
Send that ASAP. Yeah, Draymond, he good. Like he's done worse.
But is he gonna be back as well? Right? Is he going back to Golden State? That's another thing.
Cool. Draymond.
Draymond. Yeah.
Absolutely.
They made space for him. I don't know how it's gonna work out. I don't know why they would pick him. I mean, I understand why they would pick him up. I just don't understand how it helps their postseason.
Right.
But that's just me again, singing the same song.
I don't know.
That's for Steve Kerr to figure out.
Yeah,
really right. No, that's not our problem. All right, so let's see what he said. Let's see what he's talking about.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, that was kind of loud.
See it all. Like, we don't have a good relationship at all, but I respect his hustle and I respect his IQ.
Hold on.
I don't like CP at all. Like, we don't have a good relationship at all, but I respect his hustle and I respect his IQ. He's smart as hell. And CP was kind of using, like, CP saw Steph coming up and, you know, once you start to get older in this league, you start to realize, like, okay, this guy is coming. Eventually, he may catch me because I'm going to start to decline at some point. And so I would kind of see CP kind of keeping Steph at bay, but yet fucking giving him a stiff arm at the same time. Now, Steph, Steph is Steph. Like, we all love Steph. Like, he ain't cut, like, he ain't got the street part to him. And so
he ain't confrontational at all.
Exactly. And so with me coming from where I come from and the way I grew up, I'm kind of watching like, yo, he kind of rock with you, Steph, but he kind of don't. He kind of keeping you at bay. And so I took it upon myself to try to create fucking division there.
Interesting. That is very, very.
That's what I said, bro. The Dre of it all is
wow,
crazy, yo.
Pardon me, y'all. My bad.
That's my fault. Yeah, that's my fault. I let y'all miss that. That's my fault.
Yeah, I didn't. Wow, very interesting. So we went from
They're gonna chop it up and be fine.
I mean, and if they're not fine,
I don't know, bro. They are two petty dudes, bro.
If they're not fine, I know for a fact Draymond Green will knock that motherfucker out.
No, he won't.
I know that.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Some punches is gonna be thrown, bro. Like on both sides.
No, I don't think so.
I doubt it too. But I would say this though, like both these motherfuckers petty. They both petty as hell, bro. Yeah. like there's no guarantee that's gonna work, yo.
I guarantee you, the Golden State Warriors are gonna win a championship this year.
Wow.
Now. And I'm not saying that because I think.
Did you just guarantee it?
I guarantee it's gonna happen. And I'm saying this, because.
Excuse me. Sound like Denzel Washington.
If you, I guarantee it. So the thing about it, I stand by it. So. The thing about Chris Paul is, it's the mind. It's the mind games, right? Immediately, the first time Devin Booker went to the playoffs was when? The year Chris Paul got there. Like, he didn't make the playoffs before then. And Chris Paul has certain things about how he plays the game of basketball that gives him some sort of an edge. The only thing that seems to stop Chris Paul year in and year out is his own body. That's it. So, I say that to say, if you're putting him in a position where he does not have to be your starter and you don't have to rely on him every single game, I think come playoff time, that's the kind of guy you want on your team. That's all I'll say. If he's going to be... Now, you can play Chris Paul at 25 to 29 minutes a game. And
I was going to ask you next.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't need Chris Paul out there playing 30 minutes. I don't even want you starting at all. I want you to lead the second unit 25 to 29 minutes on some quickly shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't need to be out there all of these minutes beating your body up. You have the team. If you need games off, take the games off. We're going to get to the playoffs. Be there for the playoffs. So, I do also believe that there was some chemistry issues that played into the reason why the Golden State Warriors couldn't even get close to repeating this year. And a lot of those stem from the Jordan Poole, Draymond Green incident. So, you get Jordan Poole his money, you get him out of there. You know what I mean? And you furthermore try to fix the unit. Now, Jordan Poole part of that unit? No, he wasn't. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he wasn't Draymond, he wasn't Steph Curry, and he wasn't Klay Thompson. So that's their core. They're always going to cater to those guys. So in my opinion, all you got to do is bring in a veteran who understands that. When the Golden State Warriors were at their best, they had veterans coming off their bench. They had Sean Livingston coming off the bench. You had Andre Iguodala coming off the bench. So that is what I think will push them over the edge this year. It's having that kind of locker room experience and just pushing over to the playoffs and not having to rely on him heavily until you actually need him. I think that's going to work out for him. We might actually see Chris Paul get his first ring.
Yeah, you might be right. What I mean?
Listen, I'm probably the only person out there saying that because I don't necessarily think Chris Paul is like the guy to bring you anywhere. But if you're going to add him as a complimentary piece, and he's not going to be a starter, I think that's a great move for him, especially if he still wants to play.
Yeah.
But that's just me. That's just me.
I won't argue with that.
Yeah. I mean, I was hoping you would. It would be kind of fun. It's cool. It's
fine. It's okay. It was good.
Yeah, because if the injuries is his problem in the postseason, then you're not playing him to the level where he's – I can't really say he will avoid injury, but
he'll find out a way to get hurt.
You know what I mean?
He'll find out a way to get hurt.
But I feel like you have a better chance if you lessen the minutes, and then he'll be good for the postseason. So yeah, I think that's a really good point.
He'll figure out a way to get hurt, and then he'll get like a ring by proxy.
No, I honestly see him actually winning, helping them win the championship. And while they're up there, giving the trophies out, I can see him pulling a hamstring, like jumping too hard, like right there. And he was like, "See, I was that close to not being there for y'all." Yo.
Yeah, I would say this though. Cap gave us our first hot take of the offseason.
Yes, yes. And you know I'm not good for those. I don't even like the fact that I let that out, but it's fine. I gotta stand.
Hey, it's in the ether now, bro.
I gotta stand by it. I guarantee it. So that's where I'm at, man. But that's it. That's all I got. Thank you guys for tuning into another episode of the God of Knicks podcast.
Appreciate you.
Appreciate you guys for coming out. Like I said, hit that like button, subscribe. And until next time, y'all have a good one. Peace.
Peace.